help me to do it justice tonight as I preach what I can from this chapter in the time that we have. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Romans chapter 14, it's kind of a continuation of chapter 13, to be honest with you. There's a whole new thought that comes up, but it really ties in with what we studied in chapter 13. If you remember in chapter 13, we studied God's chain of command and God's authority that He set up in this world. Remember how it said in verse number 1 of chapter 13 that the powers that be are ordained of God. There is no power but of God, the Bible said. And he therefore that resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And so God taught us about authority in our life, how we should be obeying authority, and that when two authorities conflict, we should obey the highest authority of those two, the highest of the highest being, of course, God. And in chapter 12, we saw that we're to try to reconcile these conflicts. Don't try to make a conflict between your authorities, but as much as in you is, you know, you're supposed to try to live peaceably with all men, the Bible says, and to obey everyone that you're supposed to be obeying. Now, in Romans 14, the Bible says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. But one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." Now, before I go any further, this is kind of a misunderstood chapter in a lot of ways. In this chapter, we're not talking about things that are wrong according to the Bible. Okay. Now, is it wrong? Is there any food that it would be a sin for you to eat a certain food? No. I mean, is it sinful to eat certain food? No. Now, here we're seeing a person who believes that it's wrong to eat meat. Okay. We're seeing a person here that thinks that they must be a vegetarian. Okay. Now, is it wrong to eat meat? Absolutely not. God, in the Old Testament, I mean, He's feeding the priests with meat every single day. There are all kinds of times in the Bible where God tells people to eat meat. Okay, so a lot of people will try to say that Romans 14 is talking about, well, if it's, you know, certain things that are wrong for me may not necessarily be wrong for you. Or maybe certain things that are wrong for you, they're not necessarily wrong for me. Now, does this say, well, one person thinks that it's okay to steal, and another person thinks that stealing's fine? You know, I mean, is that what it's talking about? No. And so I'm using stealing as an example, but you could really put any of God's commandments in here. Is this excusing at all anyone who's breaking God's commands in the Bible? Not at all. And so you're not going to understand the chapter unless you figure that out right away. Okay? We're not talking about killing or stealing or lying or breaking any of God's commandments for that matter. Anything that there's a verse in the Bible that tells you do not do this, that's not what we're talking about in this chapter. We're talking about things that are not prohibited in the Bible, but extra rules and regulations that people have added. That they've, you know, I'm sure that you have rules that you live by that are not necessarily in the Bible. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a Bible law, because God does expect us to keep His commandments. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Okay, so we're not discounting any of God's commandments. Now, we're seeing here in verse 2, "One believeth that he may eat all things." Now, who's right here? The Bible's making it clear that the person who believes that he may eat all things is the one who's right. Because then it says, another who is weak eateth herbs. Okay, now is weak a positive word? Is that, would you like to be weak tonight? Would you like to be described, oh yeah, Brother David's very weak, okay, in his Christianity. He's very weak in his faith. Now, that's a negative thing, to be weak. Because the person who thinks that they should only eat vegetables is weak. Okay, they're wrong. Because you can, hey, they're probably going to be physically weak, to be honest. I mean, that's not what it means. But, you know, if you don't eat meat, you're probably going to get weak. You know, you're going to get emaciated and you're not going to be healthy like you ought to be, like God designed for you to be. But the Bible says here, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Okay, don't look down on somebody because they have some rule that they're living by that doesn't make any sense to you. Some strict rule that they have that's not found anywhere in the Bible, should we despise them for that? Should we let that irritate us? Hey, listen, buddy, if you want to eat all vegetables, you go ahead. Have fun. Have at it. I'm going to eat meat every single day, every single meal of my life, okay? You can go ahead and leave out the meat in your diet. So what? You see, the Bible's teaching us in verse number 14, or chapter number 14, mind your own business is kind of the theme of this chapter. Don't be so worried about what everybody else is doing, is what it's saying. Now, there's a tendency, and obviously the eating of herbs versus eating meat, okay, obviously this is just an example, okay? This isn't the only thing we're talking about. This is an example. He's saying we're to approach situations like this in this way. For example, there are people that, and I'm very strict, you know, the way that we live at our house and the way that I preach and everything, and I think the Bible's very strict, and so I live a very strict life. But believe it or not, there are certain people that have certain standards in certain areas that are higher than my standards, okay? But they're not based on the Bible, and so I choose not to adopt them. I could adopt them if I wanted to. If I thought it would be expedient for me to have certain rules that are not in the Bible and add on, but I don't. For example, let me give you one, okay? And again, when we see this example, the person who is believing that they cannot, that the restrictive diet, they're wrong, and the Bible makes it very clear that they're wrong, okay? Here's another one, okay? There are people out there who believe that it's wrong for a man to wear shorts, okay? Now, are they wrong? They're clearly wrong. Now, I'm not talking about these short little OP, the little OP corduroy shorts. You know those corduroy shorts from the 70s that are like real short and they got the little triangle cut out? Those are wrong, okay? Now, the Bible teaches clearly in Exodus 28:42 that the priest in the Old Testament wore pants that went down to his knee, okay? That was God's uniform that he gave him, was a pair of pants that went down the knee. Do I believe it's wrong for a man to wear shorts that are above the knee? Absolutely. But is it wrong for a man to wear knee-length shorts? No, it's not, because the Bible clearly states in Exodus 28:42 and elsewhere that is all right, and that's what God has ordained for people to wear in the Old Testament when they were in the priest's office. But let's say somebody comes along and says, well, I think it's wrong. Now, who's right? I mean, they're wrong to think that, right? But they're coming in with a stricter rule, because obviously it's stricter to restrict and say you can only wear pants as a man, no shorts. That's very restrictive. Now, are they wrong? Yes. But am I to despise them because they have a higher standard? Am I to let that bother me or let that irritate me? Am I to go to them and try to tell them, you're an idiot, put on a pair of shorts, man, let's, you know, it's Phoenix, Arizona? Okay, no. That's not my place. There's no point. Okay, now let's say I walked into a church, and we'll get into this more in, as we get into the chapter, but I'm just trying to help you understand the chapter right now. Let's say I go to a church, and at this church, for some reason, and I'm just using kind of this goofy example, but I think the example that God uses is kind of a goofy example. You know, it's something that's pretty clear in the Bible, that meat is okay. But let's say I go to a church, and I get to that church, and everybody in that church thinks that it's wrong, you know, to ever wear shorts, and that you got to have pants all the way down to your ankles as a man. Now, should I go into that church and start handing out brochures about why the pastor's wrong and why you should be wearing shorts and this and that, and hand out a bunch of brochures and pamphlets about? Should I go around trying to convince people and trying to change it? No, because look, in the day that we're living in, if somebody has a higher standard than you have, you ought to just praise God that they have a higher standard, not a lower standard. I mean, we're living in a day of no standards. We're living in a day of total permissive living, people just doing whatever they want, no rules, no clothing standards, no rules about anything. And so if somebody has a rule that's stricter than your rule that you have in your house, somebody else, you shouldn't say, oh, well, who do they think they are? They're so holier than thou. Look at the way they dress, you know. Look at the way they are. It's like, what are they trying to say? That we're worldly and we're wrong? Look at the way... You ought not to have that attitude. You ought to just say, praise God that somebody's trying to obey. They're at least following the rules that they believe. And even if they maybe haven't studied the Bible enough to know what the right rules are, hey, praise God that they have some rules. Now, there are other things that maybe... let me give you another example. There are people who believe that it's wrong to even eat at a restaurant that serves alcohol. Now, I don't believe that that's wrong. Okay, I don't see that in the Bible anyway. Now, I do think it's wrong to look at alcohol. The Bible does say that. I do think it's wrong to drink alcohol or touch alcohol or even look at it, Proverbs 23. But do I think it's wrong to go into a restaurant and sit somewhere in that restaurant away from the bar and just eat a meal at that restaurant? Absolutely not. It's not wrong to go to the grocery store and you know, they sell alcohol there. Hey, they sell alcohol at the gas station. They sell alcohol almost everywhere. But if somebody has that, for example, a guy visited our church one time, and I picked him up at the hotel. I brought him to church. We went to church, and it became apparent to me that that was something that he felt. So, you know, I took him to a restaurant that did not serve any alcohol at all. And I didn't bring it up to him. I didn't make an issue about it with him. Or, why do you think that? Can you show me that in the Bible? You got a chapter and verse on that? No, you know, I just praise God that the guy was trying to live a clean life. And, you know, there are probably some people who maybe used to be an alcoholic or something, and it might be a good idea for them to stay really far away from alcohol. Now, is that a personal standard that I embrace? No. No, I don't. Okay, but should I despise someone who does have that? Should I judge them and tell them they're wrong and try to straighten them out? No. Praise God, because here's the problem with that. If I talk somebody into doing something that they think is wrong, then they have just sinned. Now, is it a sin, for example, and again, using the silly example here, is it a sin to eat meat? Of course not. Okay, ridiculous. But if somebody thinks it's a sin to eat meat, and they eat meat, they've just sinned. I'll prove it to you. Look down at your Bible. The Bible says in verse number 20, in chapter 14, verse number 20, and boy, this will apply to your life. This will hit home with you, what I'm about to teach you right now. This is important. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. Now, that's only referring to food. That's not talking about your TV watching. That's not talking about, the magazine rack. Okay, and don't take the Bible out of context here. We're talking about food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Do you see that? It says here that if you think something is wrong, whether it's wrong or not, and you do it, you just committed sin. Look down. He puts it even stronger if you go down a little later. The Bible says in verse 22, hast thou faith? Meaning you believe, you know for sure that it's okay to do something that other people think is wrong. Have it to thyself before God. Mind your own business, he's saying. Don't go around telling everybody that. And it says, but happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned or condemned if he eat. Because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Do you see what he's saying here? He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means if you're not sure that what you're doing is right, you are committing sin. If you say, well, I'm not really sure if this is right or wrong, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, you just committed sin according to the Bible. And so I've had people try to justify sin to me, or, you know, they always want to talk. And this is what the Bible's teaching. Not only does he not want the person who is less strict, you know, going and harassing the person who's more strict, or vice versa. But see, this is what will happen. I've had so many people come to me and say, it's not wrong to do this, and so, you know, they're trying to talk me into drinking or something, you know. Oh, drinking alcohol is not wrong. You know, they're displaying their ignorance of the Bible. Drinking alcohol is okay. I drink in moderation. You know, anybody who says they drink in moderation is a liar anyway. Okay, but, you know, oh yeah, drinking's okay. A little drink here and there. No big deal. It's okay to drink. Show me, prove me wrong. It's okay to drink. I think it's okay to drink. I mean, and I'll show them a few scriptures proving them it's wrong to drink. And then they'll say, well, you know, I still think it's okay to drink. Now, first of all, does drinking fall under the category of Romans 14? No, because it's something that God clearly says not to do. But they say, well, you know, I just think it's okay. I still kind of pretty sure that I think it's okay to drink. And I said to them, well, are you sure? Because if you doubt, I mean, if you're not sure, you need to just not do it. Because God says that even if it were right, and you think it might be wrong, you see, don't go through life saying, well, unless it's proved to me that it's wrong, I'm just going to negative. Look, if you're not sure if something's right, why don't you just not do it? Because I don't have to wonder whether reading my Bible is right. I don't have to wonder whether it's right to go to work and make money and pay my bills. I don't have to wonder whether it's right to spend time with my wife and spend time with my kids. I don't have to wonder whether it's right to go to church. I don't have to wonder whether it's right to go soul winning. I don't have to wonder whether it's right to pray. I don't have to wonder whether it's right to sit down and eat a good meal with my family or my friends. So the things in life that are right, there's no question whether they're right. It's obvious that they're right. And usually the things that are the gray areas are usually wrong to do. whenever you have some gray area where, I don't know if this is really right. You know, you ever walk into some place and you just get a feeling like, man, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. I don't know if this is really the right place for me to be. It's not the right place for you to be. You know, you ever sitting down and watching a movie and you start wondering, boy, I wonder if I should be watching this. You shouldn't. If you're wondering, you shouldn't. And that's what the Bible's teaching here. If you can't see that clear teaching in the Bible where he says if you doubt that something is right, it's not right. And he's taking it to an extreme and even saying, even if it were right, the fact that you're doubting that it's right makes it wrong for you because you're showing this lack of faith where you just are doing something that you think might be wrong. And that's wrong. You're violating your own conscience is a sin according to God. See, your conscience is the candle of the Lord, the Bible says, and it searches the inward parts of the belly. God's the one that gave you your conscience. And when your conscience tells you that something's wrong, it's wrong. Now, just because your conscience doesn't tell you something's wrong, it still may be wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. Because he's given you both, your conscience and the Bible. You're to live by both, your conscience and the Bible. And hopefully your conscience will come in line with what the Bible teaches, okay, as you learn the Bible, as you grow what you know. But I'll tell you this right now. In the course of my life, there have been very few things that I found out, oh, you mean I haven't been doing that all these years and it's actually okay to do it? Wow, I'm going to start doing that. I can't think of any, okay? But I can think of a lot of things. Oh, man, I've been doing that for years and years, and all of a sudden I find out it's wrong. I better stop doing it. Now, you know that's true. I mean, come on. And so this chapter is not giving people a license to just go out and do all this sin and, hey, don't judge me, you know? Don't judge me. I'm going to go out and drink and smoke and do drugs. I'm going to go out and sleep around, but don't judge me. I'm going to dress how I want to dress. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to live out. I'm going to go to whatever church I want. I'm going to read whatever phony Bible I want. I'm going to go out and just do what I want to do. Hey, that's not what we're talking about. Do you understand that? We're talking about people who have stricter rules than the Bible because they're weak and they don't understand. They're wrong, and so they have some strict rule. Leave them alone. Let them have a strict rule. It doesn't bother me when people are more strict than me. And you know, even when I walked into an independent fundamental Baptist church for the first time, and I was very worldly. I mean, I was doing all kinds of wrong stuff. Totally worldly, and the pastor was just, every half of what he was preaching, I didn't agree with. Okay, you know, I didn't agree with almost any of it because I was ignorant from the Bible. But, you know, it didn't bother me that he was stricter than I was. I liked the fact that he was stricter than I was because I was being challenged to look in the Bible, you know, to see whether my life was really right. I was being challenged and I was being confronted with things. Okay, who cares if somebody's more strict than you? You have to praise God if somebody's more strict than you. And you may eventually find yourself being that strict. Just like right now, I'm stricter than that church that I walked into. Ever was, and definitely what they are right now, I'm a whole lot stricter than what they were preaching. But at the time, it seemed strict to me. As I learned the Bible, it didn't seem strict at all. Okay, so don't ever despise somebody who's more strict. And if you have a standard that's not in the Bible, you ought not look down on somebody else because they don't embrace your preference that's not even in the Bible. Okay, let other people have some freedom believe what they want to believe. Okay, that's why you'll never find me policing you in this church. And no one in this church will ever police you. Okay, and they ought, if they do, they ought not. Shame on them. Okay, you ought never go to anyone who walks through that door and tell them that they're not dressed right. Don't ever do that. I will never do that. You ought not never do that. I will never. I'm the pastor and I will never walk up to somebody and say, you're your clothing is not right, your hair is not right, your music's not right, your life isn't right. I'll never walk up to anybody and tell them that. That's not my job. That's not your job. When people walk through the door, be friendly to them. Love them, okay? Be their friend. Do everything for them. Pray for them. Don't look down on them. Don't even despise them in your heart, he's saying. Not even if you don't say anything, don't even look down on them because of the way they're dressed or because of the way they act. It's none of your business. Why judge them in your heart? Why judge another man's servant? Keep your faith to yourself, okay, is what he's saying here. Do what you're doing is right. I preach what's right from the Bible. You ought to stand for what's right in your life and preach what's right, but it's never your job to go and correct somebody individually and tell them what to change. Now, there are certain things in the Bible that God tells me that are not allowed to go on with church members, and that's called fornication.
Okay.
And so if, let's say, some couple is coming to church and they live together and they're not married and they've been Christians for years and they just keep on continuing their open fornication, I'm going to say, you know what, you need to get married or you need to get out of this church. Okay, because I don't want my kids growing up thinking that it's normal for people who aren't married to live together. Okay, because it's not normal and it's not right. Okay, but that's an extreme example. People who dress wrong, commit sins, whatever, it's none of your business, none of my business. You need to worry about yourself a little more and not always worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't look down on people that don't live up to your standards or my standards. But look down. Let's continue in the chapter. Verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Here we're seeing that in Romans 13 we found out there are certain people that we have authority over and who have authority over us. But when we don't have authority over somebody, it's not our job to judge them or correct them. Okay? Now, there are people that are under you, like your children, okay? And you're to judge them, you know, you're to train them, correct them, tell them what to do. But I'm not going to go around telling other people in this church what to do. And you ought not go around telling other people in this church what to do. Because they're not your servant, they're Jesus Christ's servant, they're God's servant, is what he's teaching here. And look what he says, to his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Here's another example. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, what's this talking about? There are people who think that there's a certain day of the week or certain holidays that are more holy and set apart and sanctified than other days of the week. Personally, I esteem every day alike. I don't consider Sunday a holy day. I don't consider it like a Sabbath day because it's not. Okay? And again, if you study the Bible, if you know the Bible, you'll realize that in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was on Saturday, not Sunday. It's the last day of the week, the seventh day, Saturday. Okay? That was something that was between God and the house, a covenant between God and the house of Israel forever. Okay? In the New Testament, the Sabbath is not something that's observed. Okay, and I could prove that from the Bible. I could prove to you that the Sabbath is not something that Christians observe in the New Testament. I'm not going to go into that, just for sake of time. I've preached on it other sermons in the past. You can talk to me, I can tell you which ones. Different sermons where I've gone into that in detail, why we don't believe that. In the series on Hebrews, I believe on the sermon, The Hoax of Good Friday, we went through and looked at all that. And the Sabbath is not something we observe. But there are people who are Christians today who think that the Sunday is like the new Sabbath. They think, well, now the Sabbath day is like on Sunday, so we can't work on Sunday. I don't believe that. I don't think that Sunday is some kind of a holy set-apart day. Now, I do believe that we're supposed to have church on Sunday, because that's what the Bible says, that they met on the first day of the week and everything like that. But do I believe it's wrong to work on Sunday? No. I often work on Sunday. Do I believe it's wrong to miss church? Yes. Okay. So, am I going to work through a church service? Absolutely not. But do I work? Sometimes I work on Sunday. I mean, sometimes I'll go to work, like on Sunday night or Sunday in the afternoon. I'll run a service call for my job. I'll do paperwork before church, after church. It's not going to interfere with church. Okay? And you could say, oh, well, I can't believe that you would do that because that's the Lord's day. That's Sunday. And Sunday is supposed to be set apart to God. No, you don't understand. Monday through Saturday is set apart to God in my life. Okay? I'm studying. We ought not have any worldliness on Sundays. Hey, you ought not have any worldliness the rest of your life. Huh? Oh, we gotta have extra Bible reading on Sunday. Hey, I have extra Bible reading Monday through Saturday. Okay? So my whole life is set apart to God. Now, that's what God's saying here. You can, either way you want to do it. God says, so is it wrong to set apart Sunday as a special holy day in your mind? No. God's saying, if you want to do that, praise the Lord. If you want to just take Sunday and say, I'm only going to do things that have to do with God. I'm not going to do any work. I'm just going to relax and only, I mean, to me, Sunday is not a break for me either. I mean, I'm out knocking doors, soul winning, preaching. Yeah, that's a lot of work for me. That's one of my busiest days of the whole week as a pastor, okay? But if you want to set aside Sunday, is that wrong to do that? No, go ahead. Go ahead and take Sunday off. Go ahead and separate Sunday out as a holy day. Or, the Bible says here, if you want, you can esteem every day alike. That's your option. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What he's saying? If you're not fully persuaded that it's okay to work on Sunday, well, then you better not do it, because if you do something that you doubt, you're wrong. Are you following the sermon? Are you understanding the chapter? So he's saying here, if you firmly believe and know and understand that Sunday is not the Sabbath day, then go ahead and do what you need to do. That's where I'm at. I esteem every day alike. Do you want to believe something different? Am I going to come try to correct you and change you? No. Go ahead and believe that all you want. That's fine. And so he says in verse number 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. Hey, what could be wrong with that, right? And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. For this end, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What's he saying here? God is our boss, okay, is what he's saying. None of us liveth to himself. Oh, well, it's my life. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Don't tell me what to do, God. It's my life. My body, my choice, the baby-killing crowd says. My body, my choice. No, it's God's body, God's choice. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So no, we don't have the right to just live how we want to live. And so, we belong to God. Look down, if you would, at verse number 13. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You see that? And so he's saying here, what you need to worry about, God is who you stand before. God is the one who makes the rules in your life, but God is commanding you in Romans 14 not to offend anyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ, not to offend them by doing something that you think is okay, but they think is wrong. You're offending them, you're hurting their conscience, and God says that you're in sin to do that because you can't just do what you want. Well, I can do what I want, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong. Well, no, shame on you for not loving your brother enough to not offend him. I mean, if you're driving down the road with somebody, okay, and they think that it's wrong to go eat at that restaurant that serves alcohol, it's wrong for you to just pull into that parking lot and say, come on in, let's go sit down, let's have something to eat. Wrong. If they think it's wrong, you're hurting their conscience. Because then maybe they're going to wimp out and just do it because you're taking them there and they don't have the guts to stand up and they just committed a sin because they thought it was wrong. You have not go through life wondering what you can get away with, but why don't you try and think about what's going to help other people grow? What's going to not offend other people? You know, what's going to make other people comfortable in this church? You know, you ought not to have, I mean, if there's certain music, and you know, you're not going to find anybody who's stricter on music than I am. I don't know of anybody. But you know, if you find somebody who's more strict on music, I'm not going to have music that offends you. If you have a legitimate concern about music that we have, I would get rid of it. Because why would I offend somebody? You know, nobody's offended by the old hymns. That's all we have. All we sing is songs out of the hymn. No, it doesn't offend anybody. But I've sat in church after church after church where I was very offended by the music that was being sung and played. When the music being sung in a sensual tone, and it's very irritating. I mean, it's wrong. You know, you sit down and a woman gets up and she's, you know, making love to the microphone, as it were. And I've been there. That's offensive. That's wrong. Oh, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, number one, it is in the Bible. But number two, even if it weren't in the Bible, why are you offending me? Why are you having your music right on the edge of what you think is right or wrong, of what you think is right or wrong, right up on the edge, you're offending half the crowd. I mean, when I was in these churches, I wasn't the only one who was offended. You'd look around and people are making faces, and what are we listening to, you know? Some of these songs that they would pull out, some of these musical instruments that they pull out, people are sitting there, is this okay? What is it? You know, what's the deal? Oh, but the song director's just trying to broaden their horizons a little bit. He's just trying to open them up to some new things. Look, he ought to be worried about, you know, not doing something that he knows is going to offend half the people that are there. Yeah, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? We're going to have our music, and the first person who's going to be offended in this church is me about music. Because I hate this worldly trash, and I hate these hussies who get up in Christian churches and sing like they're some kind of a worldly seductress. It makes me sick. And so I'll be the first person who's offended. But you know what? If somebody were offended by some song that we sung for whatever reason, I'd throw out the song and say, well, I'm not going to just... Oh, but I can prove to you it's right. Look, I'm not in the business of trying to offend people and make people upset. If something bothers you or bothers somebody here, then we ought not do it. We ought to err on the side of being more strict. That's why Paul says in verse number... I think it's in this... Let me see if I can find it real quick. There's a certain verse. It might not be in this chapter. It might be in another chapter. Turn over to... Yeah, it is in another chapter. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in the next book in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse number 13. He's kind of talking about some of the same subjects in this chapter. It's a very different chapter, but he talks about some of the same things. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:13. Look what Paul says here. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. That's a pretty bold statement by Paul. I mean, he's saying, look, if it bothers the Jews or if it bothers these people that I'm eating, you know, a pork chop, that I'm eating a barbecued pork sandwich in their presence, you know, if that becomes an issue where it's hindering me from getting people saved or it's a stumbling block or it's making people think that I'm worldly or ungodly, he says, I would even, if I needed to, I would even just not even eat any meat in my whole life rather than to offend somebody. Weak conscience. You know, that's how important this is. Okay? You ought not offend people. Now you say, Pastor Anderson, your sermons offend people every week. Every Sunday morning, people are offended. That's not worth it. That's not me. That's the Bible that offends people. Okay? That's not my fault. And see, if I preach the Bible, people will be offended. Period. Okay? But am I going to offend people by doing things that are very permissive that they think are wrong? And I'm going to do something in their presence that I know that they think is wrong. I'm just going to do it just to show them. No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm having trouble thinking of examples because I try to live a strict life, okay? But, you know, if somebody came to me and said, look, Pastor Anderson, it offends me the way that your wife is dressed. And, of course, that's off the wall because she dresses right and modest. But if somebody came to me, I mean, I'm just trying to express to you the full content of this chapter. If somebody came to me and said, I don't like the way that your wife is dressed. I think your wife is dressed very worldly. How dare you say that? I can't believe you would accuse me of that, huh? That's not what I'd say. I'd say, look, you know what? I'm sorry. Okay, you know, maybe I'll tell her to tone it down. Okay, you know what I mean? That's what you're laughing because it's ridiculous. But if I'm serious. What do you think my reaction should be according to Romans 14? If somebody came up to me and said, your wife is dressed worldly. Well, they shouldn't be coming up to you and saying that. So what? I'm not the boss of them. I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay? You say, people shouldn't be coming up to you, Pastor Anderson, and criticizing you and trying to straighten you out, you know, and this and that. So what? If somebody does come to me and criticize me and try to straighten me out, I've accepted in the spirit of meekness. Whether it's right or wrong for them to tell me that my wife is dressed worldly is not the issue. The issue is that if somebody comes to me and says, your wife is dressed worldly, you're the pastor of this church, you're setting a bad example, I would say, what do you think I need to change? What can we do? And I'd say, honey, look, you don't need to wear that thing. You know, why don't you not wear that particular outfit? Huh? It's offending people. Don't wear it. How hard is that to understand, right? I mean, just do whatever you can to be above reproach and to not offend people. not, it's not wrong to offend people because you're so strict. I mean, if you're strict, people are going to be offended. People are offended by the fact that I don't watch TV. That makes some people angry. Even though I don't tell people. I never walk up to somebody and say, you know what, you need to get rid of your television. I don't go to people and say that. But just when people find out that I don't have a television, sometimes that offends them. Now, that's not my fault. Okay? Because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay? And you ought not let it offend you. If you're a television watcher, you know, shame on you. But if you watch television, don't be irritated at me because I don't watch television. And you know, if I go over to your house, don't turn on the TV in my presence. You're offending me. Okay? Turn it off. Do me the courtesy of turning off the TV if I'm in your house. Am I going to despise you because you watch TV? No. Do I look down on you and think that you're less of a person because you watch TV? No. No. Yeah, that's between you and God. And you deal with God on that. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't watch TV. And I'm sure that you understand why I don't watch TV. Okay? And don't pretend like you don't understand why I don't watch TV. Because even if you think that there are some things that are on TV that are okay, you know it's not what you're watching. I'll tell you that right now. If you have a TV in your house, you know you watch things on it that are wrong. Everybody does. If I had a TV in my house, I'd watch things that were wrong. I'll tell you right now. Okay? Because you turn it on and there's bad things on there that you didn't even expect to be on there. Okay? And so, don't let that bother you. Don't be offended by that. So, if God telling me, Pastor Anderson, you need to watch some TV so that you'll offend people less. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't offend people by how loose and permissive you are. You will offend people by being strict. That's a fact. But what he's saying is, the person that watches TV should not play the TV in front of somebody who doesn't watch it. Does that make sense? See, I don't watch it. I never will watch it. I hate it. Makes me sick. I don't want to see it. I got tired of looking at, you know, the guy called me up from Cox. You know, he's the salesman for Cox Cable. And it's funny because these salesmen, you know, they teach them exactly what to say in every scenario. You know, if somebody tells you, like, this is why they're not going to buy the product, then here's your response, you know, how to, like, no, but you do need it. But they didn't teach him this one. Okay. So I got a call. I was getting out of the car. I remember like it was yesterday. I was walking out. I got a call from Cox Communications. And they said, you know, want to sell you cable. You know, you're paying for the internet. And so it'll cost you $0 to upgrade to basic cable. Because you'll get a $10 discount. And that's $10 a month. And so you'll pay an extra 5 cents or something. You know, just, well, let's hook you up. We'll juice you up, you know. Or pay another $10 and you're going to get hundreds of channels and HBO and whatever. And we got this deal going on. And I said, no, you don't understand. I said, I don't watch TV. I said, I'm a Baptist pastor. I said, I don't watch any TV. And the guy was just like, And I said, I hate TV. And he's like, well, you know, why don't you watch TV? And I said, I don't watch TV. That's what I said to him. I said, I had one of my coworkers with me. I said, I don't watch TV because I got tired a long time ago of looking at all the faggots on television. And I said, do you know what I mean? I said, don't you agree with me? I said, don't, you know, I was just having fun with the guy. Because he's probably being recorded for quality and training purposes. Okay, so you've got to be careful, you know. So I'm like, come on, I mean, don't you see what I'm saying? I mean, don't you see it? Doesn't that make sense to you? And he's like, well, yeah, I guess you got a point. You know? He's like, all right, see you later. It's funny because he's probably afraid, like, you're not politically correct. You just violated the code of diversity. You know, you'll be thrown out. You know, you'll be recorded for other, you know, people who think that they can violate our company policy on diversity. Blah, 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 you know, and so, you know, that's what I told him. And it was recorded. I hope that they played it in a training session. Hey, sometimes you might call a real psycho. You got to know what to do, you know. But look, you ought never try to offend people. If somebody thinks something is wrong, even if it's not wrong, you ought never try to offend them by doing it in their presence or trying to get them to do it. Because it's wrong for them if they think it's wrong. Now, everything that's written in the Bible is wrong for everybody. Okay? Period. Whether you know it's wrong, or think it's wrong, or feel like it's wrong, or your conscience says it's wrong, if it's in the Bible that it's wrong for everybody across the board. But in addition, anything that I think is wrong for me, And anything that you think is wrong for you. That's what we're being taught here. Let's hurry on through the rest of the chapter here, because I want to get to the rest of it. But the Bible says, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. He's saying, you're not going to have to give an account for other people. Don't be so worried about what everybody else. If other people do things that are wrong, that's their problem. They're the ones that suffer. You only have to give an account for yourself. We're only going to have to bear the burden for ourselves. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, I'm sorry, verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now stop for a second. What are we talking about? Food. Now people will use this and say nothing's unclean of itself. Nudity, drinking, marijuana, rock music, just you name it, nothing's unclean of itself. It's just if you think it's wrong, it's wrong. Only things that you think are wrong. Is that what that's saying? No. Look if you would, and I'm going to show you a few scriptures quickly. Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just flip over toward the end of your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, let me ask you something. What would motivate Paul to say, if meat made my brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world standeth? What motivates him there? Love. He loves that weak brother for whom Christ died, he says. He says, I love him. I want him to succeed. I want him to grow. I don't want him to sin. And so I'm going to do everything I can not to offend him. You know, not to make him upset. And so I'm going to walk charitably, he says, toward my brother. And I'm not going to make him offend. I'll even deprive myself of food that tastes really good because I love him. And that's what God's trying to teach us here is love for your fellow man and caring about other people's feelings and not hurting their feelings by doing things that they think are wrong in their presence. You know, people like to, I've noticed unsaved people, when they get around my kids, it's like they're always trying to expose them to something that we don't allow. You know, just to make a point. That's what God's saying is really a very bad thing here. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says in verse number 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. That sounds like celibate priests and meatless Friday to me. Commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. So God's saying any kind of meat, any kind of food is fine to eat. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now keep your finger there, flip back to Romans 14 where we were, and look what it says in verse number 6, in the latter portion of chapter 14, verse 6, he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. So when he says that there's nothing impure in and of itself, he's talking about food. Things that God made are not impure in and of themselves. I mean, even the marijuana plant is not impure in and of itself. But when you take the buds of the marijuana plant and smoke the buds, that's impure because it's a drug. It's a mind-altering drug. It would fall under the same category as alcohol in the Bible. Okay, it's the same thing. You know, it's a mind-altering drug, just like all the other mind-altering drugs. But now you're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Flip over to Titus chapter number 1. Titus 1, we'll see the same thing taught. The Bible says in verse number 14 of Titus 1, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Okay, so we see here that if you think something's wrong, it's wrong, again. And if you have an impure mind, especially an unbeliever, a person who's unsaved, everything to them is impure. If you don't believe that, go hang around unsaved people for a while. You know, you've probably been an unsaved person. You were an unsaved person at some point, but maybe even for a lot of your life you were unsaved, and boy, most things to you are very impure. There's a lot of sin going on there. And God's saying, nothing is pure to the impure. But under the pure, all things are pure. All things like every wicked thing is pure? No, like food, like people that God made, food God made. That's what's being taught here. But let me hurry up and close here in Romans 14. The Bible says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, verse 15, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, getting along with people, not upsetting people. And things wherewith one may edify one another. Edify means to build each other up, to edify another, to build someone like an edifice is a building. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he hath loved. This is the last point that I want to make. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allowed. God is saying here, be careful though. Don't walk away from this chapter and say, well, I'm not going to drink in front of Pastor Anderson because I know that offends him. I know that I'm not going to watch TV in front of Pastor Anderson. That offends him. Shh, stop cussing. You know, Pastor Anderson's here. Oh, would you please put a different outfit on quickly because Pastor Anderson's here and we wouldn't want to offend Pastor Anderson. He says, great, I'm glad you're obeying that. But you better make sure that you don't condemn yourself in that thing that you're allowing. You better watch out because maybe Pastor Anderson knows something that you don't. Okay, so what's the answer? To blindly follow everything that Pastor Anderson tells you not to do? No, to search the scriptures for yourself, to learn the Bible, and to know what is right and what is wrong for yourself. When I walked into an independent fundamental Baptist, I didn't agree with half of it, okay, but I found out later that I was wrong in every case. Now, I studied the Bible and found out I was wrong. You ought to do the same thing. If you read the Bible cover to cover for the first time in your life, you will find out that you are wrong on about 25 things. I promise you. Those of you who've never taken the challenge of reading cover to cover, you'll find out so many things you were wrong about doctrinally, so many things in your life that you're doing wrong. I find things that I'm doing wrong all the time as I read the Bible. I'm constantly trying to purify myself and clean up my life. Okay? None of us is beyond this. None of us is above this. You better be careful not to condemn yourself in the thing that you allow. So, number one, don't do anything that you think is wrong. Number two, don't do anything around somebody who thinks it's wrong. Don't do it around them. Don't do it around Pastor Anderson. Don't do it around other people in this church. Think about this. You say, well, Pastor Anderson is not going to start drinking because I start drinking. Well, no, he's not. But, you know, there are some people in this room who are new believers. There are some people in this room who have only been saved for a short time. There are some people in this room who have only been in church for a short time. And if you start doing stuff that's wrong in front of them, or that they think is wrong, well, what about this? What if Pastor Anderson preaches that something's wrong that you don't think is wrong? A new believer hears that, and then you go in front of them and start doing it in front of them. They're going to think, well, wait a minute. Pastor Anderson's preaching it's wrong, but everybody in the pew just does it anyway. Do you think that's going to be healthy and edifying to them and build them up? If they hear one thing being preached from the pulpit and then they see another thing in your life, that's kind of an inconsistency there. That could offend them. If they say, well, you know, brother so-and-so or so-and-so, or, you know, they're a good Christian and they win the souls, but and they do it. You know, but then Pastor Anderson says it's wrong. You know, well, maybe everything Pastor Anderson says just isn't really to be taken seriously. You see how that could be a harmful condition there. You know, if you go to this church, okay, nobody's telling you to follow everything I follow, but why don't you just have it in your heart and in your mind all the time to care about the weak in faith, to care about the new believer, to care about the person that's sitting next to you enough to not do things that will offend them. And if I'm doing something that's offending you, come tell me about it. Come tell me what offends you about Faithful Word Baptist Church. And if you say it's because I use the word faggot, I'm not even going to listen to you. But, I mean, come tell me what offends you about Faithful Word Baptist Church, something where I'm being permissive or loose or something. And I promise you, I will not get angry at you. I promise. If you come to me and tell me that my wife's dressed worldly, I will not get angry at you. If you tell me the music's worldly, I won't get angry at you. I will correct what needs to be corrected to not offend you. And I mean that. No, I will not stop using the word faggot. Okay, that will offend you for a long time. Okay, and I'm not. But again, that's being more strict. You say, that's being strict? Yeah, it is being strict, because the liberals don't like that word. Go to the most liberal church in the world, you'll never hear that word. You won't even hear it on TV. They bleep it out on TV as a cuss word. No, it is not a cuss word. What they're doing is disgusting. It needs to have a harsh word associated with it, a negative, derogatory word, because it's derogatory what they're doing. But I honestly mean that, and I hope you know that if you come to Pastor Anderson and tell me something that I'm doing that offends you, or something that my wife is doing or my children are doing to offend you, I ought not get angry at you. I won't get angry at you. I will try to in love, correct the problem so that you can be happy and so that I can be happy, so we can all have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, what the Bible said. So we can have things that make for peace between one another. Okay? And so don't always be just trying to get everybody to be just like you. I don't want everybody to be just like me. This church is not a church of robots. We all believe the same thing. We all follow the same rules. We all have the same... Look, everybody's different. It's always going to be that way. Everybody dresses different. Everybody acts different. Everybody has different standards and different rules that they think about clothing and different things that are not in the Bible, that they have other rules that they embrace. That's okay. You don't have to make everybody believe like you. You just need to make sure that you don't do things to offend other people and that you walk charitably towards your brother. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this chapter. Please help, maybe not the most exciting chapter in the Bible, but dear God, please just help us to put this into practice in our lives, dear God, and not to offend people, but to love one another and to try to do things in a peaceful way. And God, please help those that are here when visitors come never to look down their nose on a visitor, never to look down their nose on a fellow church member, but to realize that they stand before Jesus Christ, and that's between them and God, and not to go worrying about correcting everyone else, dear God. Help us to worry about judging ourselves. Let's judge ourselves so that we're not condemned. Instead of judging one another, why don't we just judge ourselves and make sure that we're doing what's right? Because that's really the only person we're responsible for. And God, we love you and thank you.